You kneel with me in a word of prayer.
My dear Heavenly Father, as I come before Thee, it is in thanksgiving and praise for this opportunity that we have to meet this night in Thy name. It is, Father, to be able to have the opportunity to come here and consider the words that would be spoken before us. Lord, I pray that Thy word might be preached this night by our brother, that it might prick my heart, that it would help me, Father, to desire, to have a greater desire, to confine the things of my heart and my mind to Thy word. I pray that You'd help me, Lord, that You might give me some correction or some strength, some admonition in Thy word that could grant me, Father, the strength to endure the temptations of life day by day. I ask, Father, that You'd be with those that are sick and afflicted. There are many that are absent from our midst because of sickness. I pray that You'd bless them, Lord, that You'd help them that they might begin even now to feel better, that they would be healed, Father, of these problems, so that they might be able to come and to meet with us when we would meet again. I pray for those, Father, that have afflictions. I pray for Darren and continue to pray for Pat McCollum, for Joe Eddy, for those, Father, that have great physical needs. I pray that You'd help them. Pray that You'd help them to heal quickly. I do thank Thee, Father, for Thy many blessings that we are privileged to behold. I pray that our lives might show forth the thanksgiving of our heart. I ask that You'd be with our loved ones that would travel even now, home from the conference or wherever they might be going, that You'd keep them in Thy hand safely. I ask even now that Thy Spirit, I pray that Thy Spirit would rest upon our brothers, He would speak and upon us, that You'd carry those things to our heart that we have need of, each of us individually. And Lord, that it might be something there that we could grasp. And so it is that I ask and lift up my voice unto Thee, always, Father, seeking that we might be able to have a greater love amongst us. We might be able to feel Thy love and feel Thy strength and the support that You give us day by day. And these things I ask in the name of Christ. Amen.
Cross He hung.
I ask now that you would give our brother Andy your prayerful attention. I've known Andy for a great number of years. Had the opportunity to work with him a lot. I've had the opportunity to travel with him and visit with him and study with him, visit people. I often considered why those of us that are up here introducing somebody tell you something about this man. And I guess it's because we never want you to question their integrity. And I don't question his. So I ask that you just give him your attention. Our brother, Andy Brown.
Thank you, Joel. Certainly thank each of you for coming this evening and giving the Lord a little bit of your day. Seems like I was just up here. I think I was a couple weeks ago. I'm always surprised, though, because I'm always interested to find out what I'm going to preach about next, because it usually applies to me as much or more than any of you. I did come this day with a burden on my heart this morning, and I felt that the Lord placed that there for the purpose that I'm here this evening. I'd like to begin this evening in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, starting in the 12th verse. And I, too, would ask that you would follow along. One, because it doesn't hurt any of us to become more familiar with our scriptures. And it certainly makes it a lot easier to follow what the guy is saying if you're following him along in his scriptures. There's a lot of times I know exactly what I'm trying to say, but probably most of you don't have a clue. So it may help. Starting in the 12th verse, it says, "As the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now hath God set members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. I want to continue reading, but I want to stop there for a minute. As you might have guessed by this point, my sermon is dealing with us this evening. It's not dealing with those folks out in the world or for those not knowing the gospel. I hope that I can express the burden that is upon my heart in a way that you can all understand it this evening. Truly, as I believe it's Paul who's writing here, is trying to express that each one of us individually is necessary, whether we old or young, male or female, whether you can sing like Chris or not sing like me. Each one of us is necessary. And different ones of us have different talents and gifts to offer. And if it weren't that way, then we wouldn't be a whole body. We wouldn't be a whole body. And the last verse that I read here, I believe it was number 18, and it says, as it pleased him. He's placed us all in the body as it pleased him. God himself has placed us in the body as it has pleased him. Let's start in the 19th verse, and it says, if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are ye many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again can the hand to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And I think of that because I know of people who've told me that if a guy gets one of his toes cut off, he has to learn to walk all over again, you know. We don't even think about that little toe down there, kind of a feeble member of our body, but it's necessary. And there's some of us that we may think of as being feeble or not as necessarily or kind of quiet or whatever, but they're necessary. Each one of us is necessary, and we need to look at ourselves as being necessary. And I think that this is part of my burden this day, is that this morning, perhaps I felt a little guilty as I watched our brother Darren walk in, because I had the intention of going and seeing him last week and didn't make that visit to the hospital that I had planned on making. And as I thought of him, and my eyes looked around the room and thought of some conversations that I had with my wife as late, I could feel and discern the many stresses that people have today. Some of them perhaps self-afflicted upon us. Some of them perhaps due to circumstance. But I feel that each one of us, I don't think of myself as being stressed. Sometimes I tell my wife, oh, you have a good life. You don't have nothing to complain about. And I think that she does have a good life, and I think each one of us have a good life because of the blessings of the Lord But I also recognize that many of us here have stress in our life, have difficulties, have situations that are perhaps difficult to deal with, and sometimes need to perhaps take a look at ourselves and at our situation in a little larger view, perhaps from God's view, perhaps from the view of the Scriptures. And so that's part of my burden this day, is that in my prayer as I prepare this sermon, that I might bring something that would be encouraging and beneficial to the heart of each of us. Something that I'm afraid that oftentimes I'm not real sensitive to, because I just kind of go through life and accept things as they happen and go on about my business. But I know sometimes it's difficult for us to deal with our lives. I would desire to continue to read here with those thoughts in your mind, because this very scripture that I'm reading here is part of the answer to that stress and that distress in our life, is this body and the ability of this body to uphold its other members and to heal itself through the power and the wisdom of the Creator. 20th verse, and it says, "But now there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor can the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, the members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary." Those of us who seem to be more feeble are very necessary. "And those members of the body which think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, and our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the parts which lack." God has done that they should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer. With it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And I don't think for a second that we need be ashamed, because God has set each one in the body in the place that He desires, if we'll fulfill that desire. And that we should surely rejoice with those who rejoice, and be afflicted with those that are afflicted. And if we do that, we can help relieve each other's stresses and problems. I desire to read a scripture in John, St. John, the 14th chapter. If my old Bible don't fall apart here. A few words of the Master that He spoke to those who He knew would be faced with great difficulties, perhaps greater difficulties than we'll ever face, perhaps not. The 27th verse says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." I've thought of this scripture many, many times. When suddenly I'm going through life and I realize my heart is troubled and it perhaps is afraid. And I have to stop and ask myself, why? Why is my heart troubled? Why is my heart afraid? And the only answer I can give is because I haven't received this. I haven't received the promise. I haven't received the blessing that God is standing by, ready to give. I haven't received it into my heart. And when I think of that, I think that, you know, the Lord, something I always tell Andrew whenever we're out doing stuff, I say, you know, the Lord knows where you're at. On this whole great big earth, if you're on a little desert island or in the middle of the woods or in the desert with nothing to drink, He knows where you're at and He knows your condition. He knows your situation. And there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be fearful of. If you're out in the middle of the woods with an asthma attack and no medicine, there's nothing to be fearful of. If you're in the desert with no water, there's nothing to be fearful of. If you're in the midst of a world of confusion and politics, distress, there's nothing to be fearful of. There's nothing to allow things of this life to destroy the peace of your heart. I'd like to read a verse in Alma, in the 17th chapter. Starting with the 69th verse. It says, "Yea, let all your doings be unto the Lord, and whatsoever thou goest, let it be unto the Lord. Yea, let your thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, and the affections of your heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and He will direct you for good. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord. And when He hath watched over you in your sleep, and when you rise up in the morning, let your heart be filled with thanks unto God. And if you do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day." Some simple, simple instruction for our life. Let all your doings be unto the Lord. Wheresoever you goeth, let it be unto the Lord. Let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord, and the affection of your heart. I think that's a difficult part right there. So many times we want to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. We want to enjoy that peace I was talking about, that this world don't understand, that this world does not offer. But at the same time, we don't want to allow the affections of our heart, or make the affections of our heart, because I don't think naturally the affections of our heart is upon the Lord. And let our doings be unto the Lord. He's requiring something of us. Let's read a scripture in Philippians, the second chapter. Very familiar scripture to many of you. I've read it many times myself. Second chapter, starting in the first verse, says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than himself. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the thing of the other. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Again, some simple instruction in our life that we might be able to maintain this peace in our heart. or we might be comforted through the Word. When I think of this, it says, be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but loneliness of mind, and each esteeming the other better than himself. It's something that's required of us. We heard our brother Joel mention something that was said by someone else back in Missouri this morning about, he wanted his kids to be a participant in this gospel work, to be a participant in fulfilling this way of life, not a spectator. I tell Andrew this all the time, that whatever we're doing, usually working, I tell him it's not a spectator sport, you got to get in there and get your hands dirty, or I'll be yelling at him to bring me a hammer or something, But I think it's kind of the same way in the gospel. If we're not careful, we become a spectator. We come and fulfill our spot in the pew, and we spectate, we watch. We hear the preacher, we sing the songs, we go through the motions, but we're not fulfilling our obligation to the Lord. And it has to be done with love and a desire in our heart. I've struggled with this for years, is what should actually motivate us? What should motivate us to righteous living? What should motivate us to even greater service in the gospel work? And there's only one thing, and that's a true desire for the welfare of your soul and those souls around you. That's called love, that charity. The fourth verse, it says, and look not on every man on his own thing, but on the things of the others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it's something that is within our mind. Something that's within our heart. It's not something that I can give to you. It's not that I can tear this page out and give it to you and you have it. It's something you have to have within your heart and your mind. I'd like to read a scripture in the second book of Nephi. Fourteenth chapter, for those of you who are following along. I'm going to read the fourth verse to start with. It says, wherefore I say unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things that ye should do. Again, something's required of us. If we want to obtain and maintain this peace that passeth all understanding, this ability to deal with our situation or our problem, a simple answer. The answer is found in the words of the Master. The answer is found in the words which the Lord has caused to be preserved for our well-being. He doesn't say, occasionally go and read. It says, feast upon the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things that which you should do. That same chapter, let's turn over to the 11th verse. It says, and for if you would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth the man not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save ye in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate your performance unto thee, that thy performance may be to the welfare of thy soul. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that the big picture in life? That our performance here is for the welfare of our soul, and hopefully for the welfare of the souls of those around us. And when you feel like not praying and you think, oh, I'll pray later, I don't need to pray this morning, just remember, it's the evil spirit that teaches the man that he must not pray, for you must pray always. And if we can do a few of these simple things that the Lord has instructed his people down through the years to do, we'll have a whole lot more luck in trying to maintain a peaceful life. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us know what stresses or difficulties are going to come into our life. If we did, it would probably scare us. But I know and I'm confident, totally confident, that the Lord is able to help us to deal with it. The Lord is able to help us to cope with life, and not only cope with it, but enjoy it along the way. And glorify His name in our afflictions. And if we do that, truly He will be glorified in the end. I'd like to read a scripture in Matthew. The 11th chapter. Starting in the 28th verse. Very, very familiar scripture, but I want to say beforehand, I want you to remember that this is in red letters, you know. This is the Master speaking. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That He will give you rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul, unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Those three short verses, I think, could speak volumes. "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden." That could be any of us, or all of us for that matter. It says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." But then He says something about Himself. He says, "For I am meek and lonely in heart." And truly, if the Master says that, that He is meek and lonely in heart, that has to be a key for us. That we're meek and lonely in heart, and we'll find rest for our soul. For His yoke is easy and His burden is light. But that yoke that He's asking us to take upon us is some of these things that I was just reading about. Following His commandments. Praying morning, midday, and evening. Be quick to pray for your needs. Be willing to think of someone else's need above your own. Think upon the other man instead of your own. To deal with people in love and in compassion and kindness. I'd like to read another scripture in Philippians. The 4th chapter, starting in the 6th verse, says, Be careful in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Something we're just talking about, praying. It says, you know, "In everything, let your prayer and supplication be known and given in thanksgiving." You know, so many times I find we're asking the Lord for this and for this and for this, but He desires to hear our thanks as well. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Very to the point what I'm talking about here. The peace of God can keep your heart and mind. This world cannot keep your heart and mind in peace. It can keep your heart and mind, but not in peace. In frustration and disorganization and fear in stressful situation is what this world has to offer. But that peace of God can keep your heart and mind if we allow it. And there's been times in my life that, you know, I suddenly woke up and said, you know, how come I've allowed that peace of God to get away from me and had to go back and find it again? I desire to read the 8th verse too, I guess, while I'm here. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." It seems like what we're talking about this evening is things of our heart and our mind, things we think about. And I find it interesting that in the 8th verse follows the 7th verse where he's talking about that peace of God that can keep your thoughts and your heart, your mind. And he tells you, think on these things. Because, you know, the Lord's not going to force his way into your heart and mind. And if your thoughts are far from him, you're keeping him out. You're keeping him out. You're keeping a shield around him. And that peace of God is not going to dwell in your heart unless you invite him to do so. I have a scripture in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, I'd like to read. It's in the 13th chapter. I know that when we say the 13th chapter, it's concerning charity. But I want to read the three verses prior to what he really talks about charity. And perhaps these get overlooked a little bit. And I'd like to apply them to each one of us today. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And I think that if we come and fulfill our spot in the pew and wear our Sunday best and paint a smile on our face and have not charity, we become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And that tells me that even though I may live righteously, I may seek continually to serve the Lord, if I don't have charity, I'm going to have a difficult time doing it. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. We can do all these things. We can endeavor to work in the missionary field or pay our tithing or paint the church or whatever. If we don't have charity, we're going to have difficulty in our life. If we don't have the charity that the Lord expects of us, we're going to have a difficulty in our life, and some of that difficulty is going to be in the form of stress and not a peace in our heart. I don't have any more scriptures I want to read this evening. I do desire that we would be sensitive to each other's needs as the body of Christ. And as I said earlier, something that I'm probably not really well known for is being sensitive. But I desire that I might be sensitive to your needs. I desire that the Lord could work within each of us, that we might be one body, and not a body that's crippled either. A whole body, a body that's functional. And the way that body becomes functional is if each one of us individually are functioning in our given spot, in our given location in the body. And I feel greatly that we need to call ourselves out of the world and place and take up our rightful place in that body of Christ, where the Lord himself has placed us. Thank you.
Bow your heads with me in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunities that we've had this day to meet in thy name, and we thank you, Father, for the abundance of blessings that you give us day in and day out. We thank you, Father, for the love that we have one for another. We pray that you give us the strength that we might have a greater love, that we might truly be able to feel the needs of our brothers and sisters. I pray, Father, that you'd help us that in all things that we'd be able to overcome the temptations of this world that often drag us down. I ask that you'd give us strength as we go day to day until we should meet again, Lord. I pray for that strength. Help us, each one, that we could overcome. I ask that you would especially be with the sick and afflicted. I also thank you, Father, for the message that was given to us once more this evening. And I ask that truly we might be able to feel the oneness that you desire of us in this world. And so as we come before thee, Lord, it is with much thanks. It is also, Father, for strength. And we Christ. Amen.